got a good reason for loving you. It's an old-fashioned way. I kind second set, lots more fun. This is we're going to do a song, a Paul Cotton song now. It's one of my favorite Pauly songs.
There's a full moon in the sky. Got a hold on me, I'm hypnotized. Like your love is getting stronger. Just keep my heart a little longer. Way. It's cool at night, hot all day. Ain't no black clouds filled with rain. Santa had a wind through them all the main. Then it takes my hand and says she understands about the way I feel. She knows my love is real. I've been wide open space cowboy. I got some lazy ways, got some hidden joys. Motorcycles, tons of RPMs. Ain't gonna wait around till it's here again. Baby takes my hand and says she understands about the way I feel. She knows my love is real. Indian summer is on its way. It's cool at night, hot all day. Ain't no black clouds filled with rain. Santa Ana wind blew them all to Maine. Blew them all away. Yeah, yeah. I've been grooving on a late summer night.
Wesley on the steel.
Well, did you guys have a good break?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
We're going to do another Timothy B. song, and this is one of our favorites, a really cool one. This, when we recorded this, you know, there were so many great Timothy songs after Richie left the band that we did, and radio guys and record company guys would come to the studio, and we'd play them some songs, and we'd like this one we'd play for them, and they'd say, that is going to be your first big hit, and they're really cool songs. And so we get our hopes up and all that, and we mix them and record them and do all that kind of stuff, and then be in the car driving home, and another Eagles hit would come on the radio. So it was getting a little frustrating. So we said to Tim, boy, you know, those are such great songs. If you were only in the Eagles. Yeah. Big guy.
I've been thinking about all the times you told me you're so full of doubt, you just can't let it be. But I knew if you keep on coming back for more, I'll keep on trying. Well, I've been drinking now just a little too much, and I don't know how I can get in touch with you. Now there's only one thing for me to do, to keep on trying to get on to you.
Before that, we were Led Zeppelin. wasn't working out. This song, I can't help but every time we do this song, it reminds me of when it was written. And we hadn't really quite formed the band yet, and we were trying different people. You know, we had there was Jimmy and Richie, Jimmy Messina, Richie Furay, and myself. And we had recorded Kind Woman, and we wanted to start a new band. And so, you know, I was out from college. I sold my precious 63 Corvette to finance my trip to Los Angeles while we were getting our band together. And of course, Jimmy and Richie did not know a lot of, you know, really great musicians. And we tried a bunch of different people. And we had Greg Allman played in Poco for a while when we were rehearsing. And that was really cool. Greg's a neat guy. And it was a lot of fun. But obviously, he's where he belongs. And I mean that in a good way.
Yeah.
And one of the guys that played with us for a month or so was Graham Parsons. You remember Graham? And we were, like I say, we hadn't written all the songs. Richie hadn't written all the songs yet for the first album, the Kind of the Pieces album. And we were talking about ideas for the band and all. And I told him, you know, I said that there's this Buck Owens is just amazing live. You've got to see. And he'd never seen Buck Owens. And so I said, well, he's playing at Disneyland, so we got to go see him. And Richie said, okay, that'd be great. I'd love to see Buck Owens. And Buck, to me, was country rock. That was, I mean, they a lot of times they give us, they say that Pogo was the first country rock band. And we were the first, except for the Everly Brothers. Ricky Nelson. Buddy Holly. Johnny Cash, yeah. Ray Charles. But we were right up there. So anyway, so we're going to go out to Disneyland, and Graham wants to come along. He says, I'll meet you there. And so Richie and I and our wives, we go to Disneyland, and we go through the entrance gates, and we're standing by the big floral Mickey Mouse waiting for Graham to meet him there. And there's this big commotion at the gates, and, you know, people and things are going on. And so we walk down to see what the heck is going on. And this big commotion at the gates was Graham Parsons. He was wearing a dress. It was a very nice dress. It was kind of off-white, you know, like, and it was long and tapered, like right here, and it had stuff here that was cool. And he was wearing really, really tasteful flats. They were cool. And he had the headband. And this is gonna be hard to believe. Mary doesn't believe me, but I'm telling you, this is the truth. At the time, Disneyland in Los Angeles, really close to Hollywood, had a no gay policy. They're a family place, just not that kind of family. So they, for some reason, they thought Graham might be gay. And they're raising a big fuss. But anyway, he knew Buck's road manager, and somehow they got a hold of him, and he came down and he got Graham through the gates. Graham had been hanging out. He just got back from Europe, and the influence is amazing. He'd been hanging out with Keith Richards and David Bowie. So the dress thing made a lot of sense. So anyway, so he gets through the gates, and he was there with his wife, Polly, I think her name was, and they had a baby in a baby carriage. So we're going, picture this, Disneyland, Main Street. Me and Richie and Graham. Graham's pushing a baby carriage in his dress down Main Street. The people from Ohio and Nebraska were parting like the Red Sea. You know, it was amazing, and really embarrassing. And a lot of pictures got taken that I hope no one ever sees. So we got to the show, and of course Buck was great. And after the show, we went back to say hello and all that. And there were a bunch of celebrities back there, Johnny Cash and a bunch of folks like that. And of course, we walk back there, and, you know, Graham's got a dress on, and there's all these, you know, hillbillies. And so they start making fun of him, and Graham said, I just got back from Europe. You just wait. Next year, you are all going to be wearing this. Yeah, right. Cash comes over to him and says, oh, yeah? Do they make that in black? I'll never forget it. So anyway, this song always... Richie wrote it right after that, and it always reminds me of Buck Owens, so see what you think. 3, 4.
There's just a little bit of magic in the country music we're singing.
1968.
So let's begin. Bringing you back down home where the folks are happy. Sitting, picking, and grinning. individually, you and me will pick up the pieces of somebody else than me.
Hey!
Country music and company kind of makes it on a Sunday afternoon. Picnic lunches of yesterday still have a place in your heart today. Think it over, and we'll all be going home real soon. There's just a little bit of magic in the country music we're singing. So let's begin bringing you back down home where the folks are happy, sipping, picking, and a grinning casually. You and me pick up the pieces There's just a little bit of magic in the country music we're singing. So let's begin bringing you back down home where the folks are happy, sitting, picking, and grinning casually. You and me will pick up the pieces.
Because that's how I usually do it. Okay. This is great. It has been a long, great ride. Oh, wait. Now, how does this work? Oh, yeah.
You got to be facing the other way.
Oh.
It's like the Norwegian carpenter that's got a nail that you can't figure out what's wrong with it because the point is toward him. Somebody says, well, that's for the other wall.
told you that joke was hilarious.
You're not Norwegian. You don't understand. These folks, these are Scandinavians, right? We understand. You betcha.
We're going to do, this is a song that's on the new CD, and you know, Neil Young has kind of been a big thing over the years. People, it's been written in magazines and articles and mentioned on the radio that Neil, he's my brother. He's not my brother. But I've lived with that for years. Sometimes, you know, people will come up and say, you know, I know he's your brother. And I don't have the heart to tell him that he isn't, so I probably help the rumor spread, but... Well, you know, they're cute. This way. But, yeah, neat Neil. You know, in the beginning, we did that. Our first single was Picking Up the Pieces. There's just a little... And Neil's first single was, Down by the river, I shot my baby. It's a different world. Really different world. But anyway, okay. I should have written this song about 10 years ago, but I didn't, but I'm going to do it tonight. It's my answer to all those folks that are convinced, and even if I tell them I'm not, they're still convinced that he... Back in the 60s when we were all hippies with patched up jeans and long, long hair. Somebody started a crazy rumor. They were pretty sure they read somewhere. Now I can see it coming when people start to say, I made a bet with my best friend. And you can settle it just for the record. They don't believe me when I tell them. Neil Young is not my brother. We hardly know each other. The DNA is in, and he's not my kin. Neil Young. Drive his electric cars and play all his vintage guitars. Actually, you know, George Grantham and Jim Messina played bass and drums on Neil's first record. And right after that, he hired a steel guitar player, so go figure. Actually, you know, our first manager, Dickie Davis, was the road manager for the Buffalo Springfield. And so when they'd go on the road, you know, he was the guy in charge. And Neil, being Neil, would show up kind of when he felt like it. And so they'd get to the airport to go on tour, and Neil just wouldn't show up. And so Dickie would throw his airline ticket in the glove compartment of his old Volkswagen. And so we're struggling to get going. You know, like I said, I sold my 63 Corvette. And did I tell this story already? That sounds familiar. I didn't do the rest. Right? It's a Glen Campbell moment, I think. Ouch. So anyway, so we were really, really poor. We were really, really poor, and we didn't have a place where we could rehearse to get the band going. You know, that's really important to have a lot of good rehearsal to get things rolling in the beginning. And we tried Richie's house, and the cops came, and noise ordinance and all that. And we at Jimmy's house, the girls didn't like it, so we couldn't work there. And it was a real problem for us. So I go by Dickie Davis's house, and he's got all these airline tickets spread out on his coffee table. And he's going, man, you know, we've got no money to get a rehearsal hall or do anything. And look at this, what a waste. There's thousands of dollars worth of airline tickets that, you know, Neil never used. And I opened one up, and the airline ticket was made out to Initial N. Young. I'm named after my dad. His name is Norman. So I said, Dickie, you're not going to believe this, and because he didn't know my name's Norman. And so we gathered up all those air, and you won't believe this, because back in that era, 1968, you could take an airline ticket back and they give you your money back. So we took all those airline tickets back, cashed him in, I forget how many, several thousand dollars, and we got to rehearse at the finest SIR studio in LA because of Neil. So, yeah, my brother. But don't tell him that, because he's going to want his money back if he finds out. We're going to do a song now. This is a song that Michael wrote, and he sings, and it's on his solo CD, which Mary has available back there. It's a really cool solo CD. Both Michael and what's his face? can you turn this up a little bit? Have solo CDs. Jack actually has two of them that are available out there, and one of them has the Hard Country song on it, too, which is really cool. And so after the show, we'll be back. We're going to go back there, and if you want to come by and say hello or anything like that, we'd be happy to sign. If you picked up something, a little Poco souvenir, we'd be happy to sign that after the show. And so anyway, when you're writing, they always say that you need to write about what you know. You know, things that you know about are the best things to write about. So this song of Michael's is called "Drinking About You." One shot down, I feel so shaken. Two shots down, my heart's still aching and blue. I've been drinking about you. Three shots ain't gonna numb this feeling. One more round and I keep on reeling. It's true, I've been drinking about you. I guess I'll never understand why the bottle's gone but I'm still empty inside. Set me up, I don't want no chaser. I've been knocked down flat on my face right out of my shoes. I've been drinking about you. Woo! Well, take it home.
My first brat patty today. Never had one before. It was awesome. Awesome. At Beer Bellies in Milwaukee.
Beer Bellies.
Can't help it.
We're going to do a song now that...
Brat's a vegetable, right?
Brat is a vegetable, I think. And, we're going to do a song that, well, it always reminds me when I do this song that it was 1976 and we were in Europe going, we went over there to do a promotional tour of Europe for the new album, the Rose album actually. And when we, you know, you always have jet lag. When we got there, the record company wanted to throw a big party because they like to throw big parties and invite all their friends and then charge you. And so they had rented out the penthouse of the Ritz Hotel in Paris. Thank you very much. And that was the party for Poco coming over. And, you know, like I said, you have jet lag and you're really tired. And we got there and, you know, there's lots of drinking and shaking hands and all that kind of stuff. And it got to be, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning. And I was still awake because I was on a different time zone. And, you know, you're looking around the room and there are people passed out on the couches and the floor and all, and, you know, the champagne bucket with the thing turned over like that. And, you know, that you can picture the whole scene. And I was there, I was sitting across the table from a friend of mine, from Tom, across from Tom Fogerty. Remember Tom? He was in, he's John's brother, and he was the rhythm guitar player in Creedence Clearwater. And we did a lot of shows with Creedence. You know, we did shows with everybody from Hendrix to, you know, Janis Joplin. Actually, opening acts, we had some great opening acts. Elton John, yeah. He was an opening act. Billy Joel, Peter Frampton. And Peter Frampton, I used to, the Pogo fans were nuts about him back in the mid-70s there. And so I used to, and he's a nice guy, you know. And so I used to go out and introduce him to the crowd because then they'd kind of accept him better. Did he ever pay me back? But every night I would go, you know, he was like this little skinny English guy with that hair was just amazing, you know. And every night I would go back to my hotel room and pray, someday, God, please, can I have hair like Peter Frampton? And I learned, now that I'm older, that you have to be careful what you wish for, because now I have hair like Peter Frampton. So I'm sitting across from Tom, and like I said, we played Shea Stadium with him. We played a lot of shows with those guys. And I like Tom a lot. I like Tom the best of the guys in that band. And so we're sitting there, and he's jet-lagged, and he's still awake, and he looks over at me, and he says, I'm quitting Creedence Clearwater. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is, Tom, you can't, see, they were the biggest, he was making millions of dollars a year, and this was his job. He didn't sing, he didn't play lead guitar, he didn't write songs, he did this. All night, that's all he did. And then pick up the check. And so where's this guy going from here? I couldn't, you know, Tom, how can you quit the biggest band on the planet? And he said to me, he said, you know, if I have to play Proud Mary one more time, I'm going to kill myself. So I told Tom, we hadn't had a hit at that point, and they're so rare and so hard, and it's such a special thing when you get a song that resounds with everybody, and it has to be the right time and the right place, and everything has to go right for it. And I told Tom, I said, man, if we had a hit song, I'll tell you, we'd do like Hank Williams used to do. You remember Hank Williams? No? Wow, you guys are really young. Hank Williams would open with Your Cheatin' Heart, and then in the middle of the set, he'd play Your Cheatin' Heart, and he would close with Your Cheatin' Heart. And then if he got an encore, we don't do that. but like you said, it's and you know, this song actually broke out of Stevens Point, Wisconsin. They're responsible for this. They were the first station that started playing this, and they were saying that they thought it was a hit, and other stations caught on, and it ended up number one for 6 weeks, and it was Billboard's Song of the Year in 1978. It actually beat out one of our good friends, Al Stewart. Al Cooper? No. Al Stewart, You're the Cat. This song beat You're the Cat. Pretty cool, huh? I love playing this song every night. I'm so proud that I got to have this song, so I don't mind playing it over and over. Tonight I'm gonna break the break. Just to wait and see. It would have been nice though if it was Proud Mary. Would have been better. Yeah. I'll never be imprisoned by a faded memory. Just when I think I'm over her and this broken heart will mend, I hear her name and I have to cry. The tears come down again. It happens all the time. This crazy love of mine wraps around my heart, refusing to unwind. Time.
of this crazy love of mine. It wraps around my heart, infuses it to unwind. Ooh, crazy love. This crazy love of mine, it wraps around my heart, refusing to unwind.
Justin Young.
Thank you. Hey, listen, we hope you've had a great time at the Thrasher. We sure have. Thanks for hanging in there through all the stories and stuff like that. So, we want to thank Riley up there for great sound. Rob for the lights, and Marsha for bringing us here. Marsha, whatever. Hope we get to see you down the road somewhere. And don't forget, we'll be back there at the booth. And we'll say hello and sign stuff.
feeling burning deep inside my soul.
Got all the songs you wanted to hear. We love you guys. Thanks for supporting us. George, our drummer on this one, but we traded him in for a horn section, and then they didn't show up. Thanks, Mike. We haven't done this song in a while.
When the dream came, I held my breath with my eyes.
strange game. I saw myself as you knew me. When the change came and you had a chance to see through me.
Well, the other side is just the same. You can tell this dream is real.
Buffalo Springfield songs, let's do another one. I think I remember the words to this.
Well, is all you know.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thank you very much. Remember, support your elderly, because one day you'll be one.